Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion, commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the issues we'll be discussing today, it's Friday. Happy TGIF, everyone. August 30th, the last trading day of the month, 2013. Let's get started right away with the markets today. We're going to be talking about the Dow. We're going to be talking about gold. We're going to be talking about consumer sentiments, and lots of things we'll be discussing today. Gold today finished down $12.30 at $13.95. Silver was down 40 cents today at $23.57. Platinum was up $6 at $1,526, and palladium was down. Palladium got hammered today, down almost 2.5%, down $17 at $725. The USDX today was trading stronger today, moved back up to 82.08, up 0.09. Crude oil down. A lot of mixed markets today. Oil down a little over a buck at 107.67. And the paper markets today, they came in. Everybody's pretty much probably gone. I'm sure most of any trades were done this morning. You have the Dow down 30 points at 14.810. You have the NASDAQ, well, that's strange, also down 30. At 35.89, it looks like it might have been just a computer trading day. They're both down 30 points. S&P down 5 at 16.32. 10-year yield, 2.75. For all your gold and silver coin needs, give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And today is going to be the last day for the special. Mint State 63, $20 St. Gaudens, $50 face value of 90% silver for $2,700. That includes all your shipping costs. And it's a great little package. Lots of people were very interested in it. 90% silver was something we haven't had for a while. So it's good to have it back, and it's good to say good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Maldi.
Hi, Al.
Yep. TGIF.
Woohoo.
Yep. That's all right. You know, and the gold is down a little bit. We're down below $1,400 an ounce, but just the same, we've done a good job. Yeah, gold has done a good job here in the last month. It's made a nice recovery. And we're not down significantly below 1,400. And we can be optimistic and hopeful that come next week, we will be more firmly planted in the 1,400 range. So, things are good.
I think so. And we knew there was a little bit of war premium in there. Naturally, it has gone up. But today, I mean, this whole week, we had very light volume in the markets, very little trading. Everybody is off. This weekend is Labor Day weekend. It's coming early. All the kids go back to school next week. Some of them have already had that option of going back sooner, but a lot of children go back after the Labor Day. So I think next week it's going to be very active.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll be in September.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that shortly also. But, in fact, maybe we could even go into it right now. I don't know. Let's see. Let me see if I – here we go. Search. Where am I? I'm looking for it.
You're in
September?
Dallas.
Yeah, I know
you
I'm
don't
in
know
Dallas.
Where you're at?
I know where I am. It's the rest of the world that confuses me. Yeah, here it is. Investment Focus, Fed to Light September Volatility Fuse. This is from Reuters. September is here, and for markets, that usually means one thing, volatility. This year is shaping up to be a classic. And they mentioned the problem that Syria is looming in the immediate future. The U.S. Federal Reserve's policy meeting, the middle of this last month, and decision on whether to start, in the middle of September, a plan for middle of September to start trimming back its monetary stimulus. The move to tapering is a sea change, said Sandra Kroll, member of Investment Committee for Fund Manager Kamenyuk Gestion. Easy for me to say, huh? In any case, this would be the end of it. If they do tapering, according to this article, this would mark the end of a 20-year U.S. bond market rally and the end of what has been multiple years of liquidity being injected into the U.S. economy that found its way into emerging markets, she said. Now, this is very interesting to me. We've made reports previously that the banks received roughly $2 billion in stimulus. Major financial institutions received $2 trillion in stimulus from the Federal Reserve and the federal government. But they sat on $1.8 trillion. They received two and kept $1.8. Supposedly in their own vaults. And that's what we're led to believe, and it surprises me I didn't pick up on this myself. I should have realized this, but I didn't. They didn't just sit on that money. The implication of the article we are reading here, again, this woman, Sandra Kroll, Investment Committee for Fund Manager Kamenyuk Gestion, she says this, the tapering, would be the end of the 20-year U.S. bond market rally, and the end of what has been multiple years of liquidity being injected into the U.S. economy, meaning by liquidity, they're meaning cash from the federal government, Federal Reserve, being injected into the U.S. economy, only it wasn't really injected into the U.S. economy. It was injected into major financial institutions, and it was presumed that they would lend the money into the U.S. economy. It was presumed that they would use that all of the $2 billion to stimulate the U.S. economy, but instead it appears they kept about $1.8 trillion. I keep saying billion when I mean to say trillion. They kept about $1.8 trillion. And we were thinking that they had kept it in their vaults. But the truth of the matter may be this. The lady doesn't say this, but she implies. She talks about multiple years of liquidity being injected into the U.S. economy that found its way into emerging markets. What that suggests, what it implies, doesn't say it, but it implies that banks could make more money at higher interest rates in foreign markets. Therefore, the stimulus money given by the federal government, the Federal Reserve, to the banks, didn't just sit in the banks, as we'd previously heard, but was invested overseas in emerging markets rather than in the U.S. economy. Now, if this is true, does it help to explain the recent growth in emerging markets like Brazil, India, and China? Did the American economy stagnate over the last several years because the government injected $2 trillion into the banks, and the banks injected some significant portion, perhaps as much as $1.8 trillion? Again, I said billion, but I meant trillion. Did the banks inject $1.8 trillion or some substantial portion of that into foreign emerging markets where they could take advantage of higher interest rates? The government's been holding the interest rates down. Huh? We've been holding interest rates down, and as I've pointed out for years, tends to slow. The government's saying, oh, well, low interest rates to stimulate the economy. In fact, they won't stimulate the economy. They'll have the exact opposite effect if they drive money out of the country to foreign markets. And what we're seeing in the report from Reuters is evidence, not proof, but evidence that that's what may have happened in the past several years. And if it has happened, the money that has been donated to the banks, to the big financial institutions to allegedly stimulate them, the money that you folks, the taxpayers, will allegedly have to repay one day, that money has in fact been loaned to foreign countries. Foreign countries prospered. There, the BRICS, for example, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. People are saying, oh, they've done well in the last several years. Maybe the reason they've done well is because their economies were stimulated by money coming from U.S. banks who didn't want to invest at a near zero interest rate here in the United States. They weren't going to invest their money with you or me because they weren't making enough interest. They would invest their money at foreign countries, and perhaps this helps to explain what's happened in terms of seeing other countries prosper while we have largely stagnated. The reason, of course, is because the government was dumb enough, or perhaps, I don't know if they were dumb enough to do this or they intended to do it and it's just a pretext, but my point is the government said, well, we'll lend the money, we'll give the stimulus money to the banks, and the banks will then lend it to the American people. And then the American people will stimulate the economy and we're all going to get rich again. But the banks said, screw that. We got the money, and we don't care if somebody gave it to us or how we came by it. We've got money, and we're not going to invest money for 1, 2, or 3% here in the United States if we can get 5 or 10% foreign country. And so they moved the money offshore.
And Al, maybe with all this talk of taper at beginning in September, whether he does or whether he doesn't, it doesn't really matter. But with all the talk of tapering, perhaps this is why we're seeing such a mess coming out of India now. They're not getting those funds anymore.
You know, that is not inconceivable. That is remotely possible that if, oh my gosh, India may have been one of the principal beneficiaries of the funds that were flowing into our banks, that you and I are going to be held liable for repaying back one of these days.
Well, look at Brazil. Brazil is having this. All of the BRIC nations are having problems. Even Russia's beginning to see some weakening. So they all have problems. Mm-hmm. So and that is relative. Really, their problems really began. I mean, they've been all messed up anyway. I mean, China's banking system is so flawed. It doesn't take much in order to, you know, to have something. But their markets and everything have really started to have big impacts just a couple months, just in the past months with the talk of tapering.
I understand. So. It's pretty interesting. You know, we don't have evidence. We have a little evidence. We don't have proof.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of crooks.
This makes a certain amount of sense, and we are left, if it were true, what we've just, the hypothesis we just considered, We let the government lends the money to the big banks. The banks are supposed to lend it to you and me, but they say, we're not going to do that because you people don't pay much interest, thanks to the government, so we'll send the money to foreign countries. If that's true, then we need to know, was the government just dumb enough to give $2 billion to the banks? $2 trillion, excuse me, I keep saying that. Hard to believe that we're talking about trillions.
Trillions.
I can deal with billions. I can deal with billions, but trillions. Did the bank lend the money to, or excuse me, did the federal government essentially lend the money, give the money to the banks to stimulate the economy, or did they know all along that the banks would send it to foreign countries? Did our government know that they would not stimulate our economy, but they would stimulate foreign economies? Did they know? Did they intend, or are they just a bunch of dummies?
Well, you know, maybe. Also,
maybe they're dummies. Maybe they knew and they're dummies. It doesn't have to be an either-or question. We need C, all of the above.
The next question is what comes next? And really, there isn't anything that can come next because they've done everything. And, you know, all this money supposedly being funneled through in the markets and everything, look at our economy. Yeah, they'll show a GDP that increased to 2.5, 2.7. But again, as I said before, they changed the way they calculate the GDP numbers. So it would automatically have an increase in the numbers for the last month. So it's so complex. It's just insanity.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's the hard thing about this. So nutty that you can't make sense of it. It's hard to even attack some of the things you say. I know they're doing it. I know they're doing it to us. I just don't exactly know how.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah. And it's like something that you'd watch a movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's not real life.
Mm-hmm.
But exactly. And Frank is right. What comes next is the collapse because you can only funnel this much money. People don't have a clue what $1 trillion is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beyond. And then you start talking about 1 trillion, 2 trillion, 3 trillion, 16 trillion, 80 trillion, 200 trillion. It's like, hello?
Yeah, I know.
It's just digits in a computer, though.
And that's part of the reason we have trouble, because there is no tangible reality to these numbers. But apparently there's some tangible reality with Frank. He wants to start the commercials, so we're going to have to accede to the producer's desire. He's a meanie. I'm not kidding you. Frank is a mean, mean man. He insists on doing the commercials every program. Well, all right, we're going to concede. We're going to let Frank run the commercials again. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Al Pradatis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's the special du jour, Melody?
Special, Mint State 63, $20 St. Gaudens, minted prior to 1933, $50 face value of 90% quarters, and free shipping is included in this, $2,700. So all they have to do, they're all standing by waiting for the at the phones, 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just want to encourage the listeners to make sure you visit our website, DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, The American Survival. We joined forces with Wendy Wilson, Apothecary Herbs, and some other writers. It's not a huge newsletter, but it's got some great information. And, of course, you can listen to the programs. We archive them. And I do appreciate we've been having a little bit of a computer. We have had our own computer glitches with our radio program archives. So I appreciate everyone letting me know that there's been a little bit of problem. We're getting it fixed, but sometimes things just pop up on the Internet.
Sometimes they do.
Yes, they do.
Sometimes ads pop up on the Internet. Sometimes defects pop up. I'm going to call it the pop-up instead of the Internet. Maybe we should do that. Let's take a poll and see how many people would like to change the Internet, the name of the Internet, to the pop-up.
You can get anything, any answer you want from a poll. It just depends on how you ask the question.
Give me an example.
No, we got a caller.
Oh, all right.
And we'll ask Joe from
Arkansas.
Yeah.
I think Arkansas. Are you calling from Arkansas, Joe?
Yes, I am. Fayetteville, Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas. Beautiful, hot Northwest Arkansas.
You got a question? Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, okay. The reason I called is you were talking about this business of the banks investing this stimulus money in foreign countries instead of into the American economy. And it sounds to me like that might very, very, very well be part of the fulfillment of Agenda 21, the UN Agenda 21, because in Agenda 21, the first thing it deals with before it gets into any of the environmental stuff that people mostly know it for, it promotes free international trade. It says that the developed countries have to get rid of their tariffs so that their wealth can be sucked out of them and transferred to the third world.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's what it said. It doesn't say exactly that words, but that's the sense of it. And so, of course, that came out in 1992 first, And then in 1993, of course, they passed NAFTA, seems to me obviously to implement Agenda 21. And then in 1994, I think it was, they passed GATT, you know, in further implementation. And so one of the things that Agenda 21 definitely calls for is to suck the wealth out of the United States and transfer it to the third world. So it sounds to me like this program of taking money that was supposed to be to stimulate the American economy and giving it to third world countries instead might very, very, very well be part of the implementation of Agenda 21. I'm sure all the big banks are on board with that.
Well, I don't doubt that what you're saying is roughly correct. We have been hemorrhaging our standard of living ever since the government came up with global free trade. And they said, we've got to knock down our tariffs. It'll be great because we'll have global free trade. And then everybody will be, oh, everyone's going to do well in the world. Bunk. What's going to happen is the people living in third world countries, I agree that they will probably see an increase in their standard of living. But the people in this country will see a dramatic decrease in our standard of living as our wages are necessarily driven down to levels that are at least somewhat comparable to those in China, India, Mexico. I don't mean we're going to reach that level, but I mean we are going to move in that direction, and we pretty much have to remain competitive. The only way we can avoid paying high wages and still remain competitive is to install more robots, automate our factories, where the people who own the factories are going to do well, but those of you who don't actually own a factory, don't own a robot, you're going to be in big trouble, unless you've got, you know, a job like roofer, plumber, carpenter, electrician, the kind of work that can't be sent offshore. You have to do it here. If you've got a plumbing problem in Detroit, you've got to have a plumber in Detroit. And those kinds of blue-collar jobs are not exposed to foreign trade like other work. But in any case, government, take away our tariffs, no longer protect us from foreign competition. Inevitably, our wages must move in the direction of that foreign competition, and that means people are going to make less money and less money and less money. And it also means the end of the American dream. American dream is that every generation would live better than the previous generation, and that dream held up at least until the 1970s. And since then, we have watched the dream wither. Who thinks that the next generation will live as well as the previous generation? Anybody believe that? I don't think so. American dream is at least in a state of stasis, stagnation, right now. And it has to do with government doing what's best for China and government doing what's best for India, but government abandoning the American people. Did you have anything else you wanted to throw in, Joe?
I tell you what bothers me the most about this whole situation with trade is that these so-called conservative Republicans, you know, cling to and uphold and promote free trade, and they proclaim it to be some kind of traditional American conservative value and in line with the founding fathers and all that sort of thing. When you really look into it, you find it's absolutely not, that the founding fathers intended the federal government to be supported mostly, you know, not by income taxes, not by a fair tax, not by a flat tax, but by tariffs on imports. And the Republican Party, from its earliest days, you know, when Abraham Lincoln was the first president, all through the late 19th century and early 20th century, the Republican Party was the strongest supporter of tariffs on imports, and it was those policies that built America into the greatest manufacturing and industrial nation. And when you really look into it, you see that the push for free trade comes from, number one, Karl Marx, who said it would be a good thing because it would increase the difference between the rich and the poor and exaggerate the class warfare, and so then more people could be recruited to support socialism. And also it's in pursuit of Agenda 21 of the United Nations. So really, this free trade, and also we really got started in eliminating tariffs under Franklin D. Roosevelt because he had an economic advisor who was a communistic type, and he wanted free trade because he thought it would somehow help to bring about world peace. And so when you really look into it, this free trade is not at all a traditional American or conservative or Republican program, but it is more communistic and United Nations.
Well, I agree with you. This isn't a new situation, and it's not something that happened just in the last couple of years. The government's been working contrary to our best interests for a considerable period of time, certainly decades. We can chase some of the things back. You know, I talk about it once in a while. I've been sued for $25,000 a day. That's $9 million a year by the Attorney General of the state of Texas. Stopped him with a freedom of religion suit, and the case involved drugs and medical devices. The drug in question was colloidal silver. The medical devices were little device, little machines that make colloidal silver. I've been threatened with fines of $25,000 a day. Read the relevant law. Realized that the law, the definition of drugs, and the definition of medical devices presumes the people to be animals rather than men and women made in God's image. It's an absolute violation of our freedom of religion. It's a violation of the fundamental principles in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men, not all animals, all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. If you're an animal, you don't have those rights. You can't claim those rights. The government presumes us to be one, and the earliest evidence of that presumption was the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. Government's been at this, trying to tear us down for over a century. And they've been whittling away a little at a time and a little at a time in ways that no one really seemed to understand or care about. And now we've come to a point where we have almost been skinned. Not quite, but we've almost been skinned, and now it's time to find out whether we will fight to right ourselves and restore this country to where it works for our best interest rather than the interests of multinationals and foreign people, or whether we're just going to roll over and surrender and just say, well, to heck with it. I'd rather relax. I'd rather switch than fight. What do you think, Joe? Do you think we're going to switch, or do you think we're going to fight?
Well, I think there's all kinds of people who are going to be doing kinds of things. You know, it's kind of hopeful that it looks like more and more people are getting into the fight to maintain traditional America, to get back to the Constitution. You know, it looks like that movement is growing. Hopefully it will grow faster and, you know, really get to be something substantial enough to change the direction of this country. You know, it does seem to be growing. Yes, definitely. And I remember I got a copy of the Food Safety Modernization Act when they passed it a couple of years ago. I got a copy of it from my congressman's office. And I remember finding that same phrase, you know, man and other animals, in the Food Safety Modernization Act, too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The one I found in our case was man or other animals, but it means the same thing. If I said man and animals, we've got two completely different classes of entities. If I say a horse and other animals, it's perfect sense. The horse is a kind of animal. If I say a horse or other animals, makes perfect sense. It means the horse is a kind of animal. Likewise, when I say man and other animals, man or other animals, we are saying that man is an animal. Absolute violation of freedom of religion. The Bible says on the sixth day God created man in his image, gave man dominion over the animals. That means as a Christian or Jew, anyone who subscribes to the Old Testament, you can't declare us to be animals without violating our freedom of religion. But the other point is, you know, some people look at that and think it's just curious and maybe interesting. But where it gets really interesting is whenever the Hutus decide to chop up the Tutsis, I've said this who knows how many times, but when they're going to war, to genocidal war, the first thing they do is they declare the Tutsis to be nothing but animals. And as animals, you can kill them all. You can kill the women and the children and the non-combatants as well as the young men. Kill them all. Because they're animals. You can exterminate them like a hive of wasps, a nest of rats. When our government, before we even get to that, then there's Nazi Germany. Before they went after the Jews, Nazi Germany, they passed laws to declare the Jews to be undermenschen, meaning under, or sub, under, unter means under, mensch means man, under man, subhuman is what they were saying. They were essentially saying animals. As animals, they could kill all the Jews. They could legally put women and children and non-combatants in concentration camps. Now, here we have our government who has been defining the people as animals for over a century. It is an act of genocide perpetrated against the American people in the same sense that the Hutus perpetrate the law on genocide, incidentally. You don't have to actually kill anyone to commit genocide. All you have to do is create circumstances where a particular group or race or culture or religion are more likely to die. That's all you have to do. And when your government defines you, me, and Melody as animals, they have stripped us of our life. They have reduced us to the status of creatures comparable to chickens on a Tyson poultry processing plant, pigs walking into a meatpacking plant. The only difference between us, the chickens, and the pigs is that we have firearms. We are armed animals in the government's estimation. And as long as that's true, government gives us a little bit of leeway. But if they ever get the guns away, you can expect to have the same amount of rights as chickens, pigs, cows, sheep, goats. That's where your rights will be, ladies and gentlemen. And if that's what you want, continue to support the government we have. Anything else, Joe?
I think you've got the situation pegged very accurately, and it seems to be part of human egotism that people always like to think that because they belong to a certain group, this automatically makes them a good person, a person that's closer to God, you know, a more virtuous person, a better person of some kind, you know, a more godly person, whatever. You know, it seems like instead of earning their way to be considered a virtuous person or a good person or a godly person by their own character and by their own actions, by what they accomplish, people just love to indulge in their egotism and think that they are one of the elite, one of the favored few, one of the higher class of people by virtue of some group that they belong to and not by anything that they have actually accomplished themselves.
I think beyond that, there's a lot of people who think the way to get on in this society is keep your mouth shut. The way to be a good little German, a good little American, is just keep your mouth shut and go along with the program. In fact, that's exactly what's going to finish us all off. If people won't stand up and speak out, we are going to pay an extraordinary price. I want to thank you for the call, Joe. We've got to get on, get some commercial announcements. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. for the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis, here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know what? J.P. Morgan, you know, the authorities are demanding that the J.P. Morgan Chase pay more than $6 billion to settle the allegations it missold securities to the government-backed mortgage companies in the run-up, which would be Fannie and Freddie, to the financial crisis. And the bank is resisting the payment. Well, I thought it was, you know, more than just demanding. You'd figure it'd be a lawsuit or criminal charges if it was thought that it was done to the point of, you know, doing it intentionally. But it seems like for some reason, the authorities, they're really digging J.P. Morgan. You know, it's like they're going after Jamie Dimon. It's like he lost favor with Obama. And $6 billion. You know, they paid a couple hundred million for other things that they've been accused of and so forth. And but they certainly seem to be the leader of the pack, at least Goldman Sachs, even though they're right in there. They seem to, you know, hold their they don't hold their head higher. But, you know, government authorities believe that they do. So, of course, they're so entwined, and not only in this country, but everywhere. They're the leader of the pack. But it's just interesting that they're going after J.P. Morgan so hard. And maybe it could be because of their problems. We all know how they short silver. We all know that they're the biggest group that shorts gold and silver. And so maybe there's even some sort of a connection there, because they have been the markets have been changing so drastically. So
might be a way, you know, you see movies, and that's how they are, movies about criminal activity, and they've committed, the bad guys have committed some kind of crime, and therefore they decide that in order to cover their backside, they're going to have to kill whoever it was that was responsible, was critical to committing that crime. He's the cutout. If he dies, then there's no evidence against the rest of them. It's not absolutely impossible that the forces that be are trying to get rid of J.P. Morgan Chase and allow it to be assimilated by one or more of the other major firms on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's happening. I'm saying it's not impossible. That's all. Beyond that, I don't know how tough they're really getting with J.P. Morgan Chase. How much money did they give them?
Yeah.
All right. If they're trying to get $6 billion back, there's a good chance that they received several hundred billion in stimulus money in the first place. $6 billion doesn't even amount to sales tax on the gift. I mean, if someone gives me $100 billion, I'm not going to get too excited if they want $6 billion back. You know, business is business, and no one can afford to just be handing back $6 billion. You know, I understand, but just the same, if you received $100 billion and you have to give $6 billion back, is someone really being tough on you? That's like saying it's a kid's birthday and you got him cake and ice cream and a pony and you ask him to go out and wash the car the following day. This isn't necessarily a bad deal. So, again, it's what's really going on in positions of, among people in positions of great wealth and high power. And the answer is very difficult to tell for sure. We are not privy to the information where you can say, with high confidence, you can speculate, but you can't say exactly what's going on. But what you can say is when you recognize that it's difficult to discover that truth, it tells us that if it's difficult to know the truth, it tells us that you can't rely on what they're telling you, which again from my perspective, suggests not a bad idea. Just sit back and say, okay, I don't know what those guys are doing, but what's best for me? What can I do to help me? And just not pay attention. Look at fundamentals. Look at fundamental principles. You know, you're going to have to do a certain amount of speculating as to what you think is going to happen to the economy and so on. But what would be the best thing I could do without regard to what Obama says or Jamie Dimon says or any of the other wheelers and dealers say? What can I do that's best to protect me? One of the answers is to stock up on gold, silver, tangible wealth. It's we say it on the program on a regular basis, but it is fundamentally true. It's not just a sales pitch, just sort of thing where you say, look, this is just common sense. If we don't really know what the wheelers and dealers are up to, then you can't rely on what they say. Again, what can you rely on? What have you been able to rely on for the last 100 years, for the last 500 years, for the last 1,000 years, for the last 5 or 6,000 years? What has been a constant economic reality? And the answer is people store their wealth in the form of gold. And it has been here for so long that it's unlikely that it will ever change. So why won't you do it too, folks? You know, good idea. That's all. What else, Melody?
Well, I believe beginning on September 3rd, you have the National Union of Mine Workers in South Africa. Mm-hmm. They're going to be going on strike over pay. It represents about 64% of the gold miners in South Africa.
Okay.
So they're going to be heading on strike, so it'll be interesting to see what that does to the precious metals beginning next week. And, you know, it's just all these signs. I mean, we say it all the time. I mean, how cannot people see through all the deliberate misrepresentations and lies that is produced through Washington? We didn't get a chance to talk about Syria yet today, so let's go there, Al. They didn't get approval. The UK
yep.
didn't approve. It was a close call. There was only a difference of 13 votes, but this is the first time that they went to Parliament and they lost the vote since like 1700, 1780 or something like
that.
Right? So, yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
It really is amazing. It indicates that people in the world are becoming aware, number one, and fed up, number two. Not just happening in the country, happening in foreign countries. This has got to be devastating for President Obama, the man who won the Nobel Peace Prize, but has participated in the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq and the war and the invasion of Libya. And he's got his own private death list for killing people with drones around the country. And he, of course, won the Nobel Peace Prize. And I'm sure that he's a little bit, appears that he's a little addicted, more comfortable with murder than he is with, who knows, peace. We haven't invaded anyone now since Libya. This has got to be weighing on the president. Huh? Let's get out there and kill some people. Let's go bomb somebody. That seems to be their attitude. And here's an article in the Washington Times that says, the headline, Obama, no final decision on Syria, considering a limited, narrow act. President Obama Friday said that he sympathizes with Americans' war weariness, but is considering a limited, narrow military response to Syria's use of chemical weapons. A lot of people think something should be done, but nobody wants to do it, Mr. Obama said. He's made a case that the Syrian regime of President Assad killed more than 1,400 of its own civilians using chemical weapons. That's their argument. It remains to be seen if that argument is even correct. I don't doubt that the body count may be correct, but it strikes me as very improbable that the Syrian government, which is winning the conflict against the rebels in Syria, is inclined to use chemical weapons. It's just bad business. It would be incredibly bad judgment for the Syrian government to gas innocent civilians with poisonous gas. It is, from my perspective, more probable that the rebels who are losing the war in Syria would use poison gas and try to pin the rap on the government in order to expose the government to an attack by the United States, by Israel, by somebody. But in any case, President Obama says he's ready for a limited, narrow military response. And what that means is he can't get British support and he can't get UN support. And now he's committed that this is an outrage and we have to do something. But he understands that he can't do much, which is probably a good thing. I'm not in favor of the Assad regime in Syria. I'm not in favor of the rebels. I imagine that both of them are bad guys. As I may have said previously on the program, why should we support the lesser of two evils? Bad enough we have to do it in our political process. Is there a reason why we should do it in our military process? Why don't we just wait until we see real good guy? And if we can't find good guys, don't support them. Let them kill each other off, right? If the Syrian rebels want to fight the Syrian government, let them have at it. What do I care? If they're all bad guys, you know, it's a problem that I just don't feel comfortable getting into. And we do it on a regular basis. We jump into these things and then we support whoever it is, you know, we allegedly jumped into to support, and turns out they're usually a bunch of idiots also. For example, Afghanistan. I believe Karzai is the guy who's running Afghanistan right now. If I'm remembering correctly, I might not be. He's the guy who runs around the green cape. He's nothing but corrupt. He's holding up the United States government for graft and bribes, and I mean big time. And he's the guy we're supporting. We got to pull the rug out from under that guy the first time he asks for 50 cents. If he's not in it because he believes in it, why are we in it? What are we doing with supporting all these whores? And that's all they are. They're just prostitutes. They're just in it for the money. And the reason we support them is because a lot of people in our government are much the same. They can do business with the whores because in the end, people in our government are, to a large extent, a bunch of Johns. They're looking for whores. And you and I sit back and we'll get saddled with the bill before it's all over. We're going to pay for the whores and we're going to pay for the Johns and we're going to wonder why this country slides into a bad direction. I'd say mind their own business and stay out of it. What do you think, Melody?
Well, the part that's everyone is so unsure of is should this go through? I mean, it's just going to wreak havoc on the markets. And I also believe that is this a situation where it could also be a distraction on our coming markets? I mean, usually when you have a war, you're going to see our dollar strengthen because it still is the world reserve currency.
Mm.
However, it will still show strength, and we've seen that in this past week. And, of course, if China does something and decides to dump a lot of their dollars, that would certainly have a reversal on that. But people are really unsure, but I think if they go to war with Syria, I definitely believe it's going to wreak havoc in the markets coming September. We've already talked earlier in the program how September is a rough month for the markets, always is, a lot of volatility. Sure, you've had the big crashes in October, but for month over month, historically, September has been the most volatile of all. So it's all coming together at once. And this is the fear. And I know there's, you know, we talked about it earlier before the break. We talked about folks running after promises, running after the promise of a big return, running after, you know, the stock market has been up over 15,000 for how long? Consumer confidence is at a six-year high.
It was in July. It's fallen some. It's fallen a couple of points in August, but it's true.
But
it's
still
a six-year high in July.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nothing.
Based on what?
On what?
Yeah.
Because the stock, what it's based on, because the Dow Jones was closing in on 16,000. That's what makes people happy. And that's all the government's got to do is make those markets strong. And everybody knows that the stimulus, as you mentioned in the beginning of the program, the stimulus is backfeeding the stock market. So come on, folks. I mean, what is wrong? Have we gotten to a point where we've just said, what's the point? And we just go on our merry way? Do we fall under their spell? Because I do believe it's a spell.
Well, what it comes down to is people are short-sighted. And we can sing happy days are here today, even if we're actually only singing happy hours are here today, and tomorrow might not be that happy at all. The important point from my perspective is you have to learn to invest on a longer time frame than next week, next month. You've got to think at least a year in advance. What can I invest in today that's almost certain, that is most likely to be worth more a year from now, and especially 2 years and 5 years from now? The longer you can think into the future, the more probable it is that you will be a successful investor. The shorter time frame you're in, the more likely it is to see, the more accurate it is to say that you are gambling rather than investing. You've got to take that long time view. Take that long time view, and the answer will come up every time. Gold, gold, and gold. We are out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. We will be back Monday or Tuesday, depending on whether we do a Labor Day program or not. We'll watch to see. Have a happy Labor Day weekend, folks. Thanks for listening. Be back next week. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.